Bihani. Kopidana balaba krivarudari Kopidana balaba krivarudari Yashoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopedana Balaba Grivadadari Gopedana Balaba Grivadadari Yashoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Madhava Kunjabi Hari Dayong Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivajakuta Astatar Sada Shri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Iskand Pandar Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Dayong Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivajakuta Astatar Sada Shri Srimad His Divine Grace So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavani Ki Nama Acharya Sohaidat Thakur Ki Prem Sikho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Bhavanitananda Shri Vedagadhar Shri Misadhi Gaur Bhakti Mindi Ki Shishidara Krishna Gopa Govina Shama Kandurada Kandi Girgavadam Ki Vindavadam Ki Navarit Mayapudam Ki Tiganat Puedam Ki Gangamaya Ki Yamunamaya Ki Kalasi Devi Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Samaveda Bhakti Mindi Ki Gora Primanandi All gloriously assembled devotees All gloriously assembled devotees All glorious to some of the devotees. All glorious to Sisi Guru and Gordon. Just wanted to thank all the devotees here for nicely maintaining the deity worship of Sisi Radha, Shama Sundar, Krishna Balaram, and Sisi Gorni Thai. It's always a pleasure to come here from Gainesville and see the deities looking so wonderfully. And also all the devotees here who steadily have rendered service year after year with great determination. It's always inspiring to come here and see people fixed in the service of the Lord. It inspires us newer people. So I believe we're reading 10:14:56, is it? Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vastuto janatam atram. Krishnam stasnu charishnucha. Bhagavad rupam akilam. Nanyad vastviha kinchana. Vastuto janatam atram. Krishnam stasnu charishnucha. Bhagavad rupam akilam. Nanyad vastviha kinchana. Vastuto janatamacha. Krishnam stasnu charishnucha. Bhagavad rupam akilam. Nanyad vastviha kinchana. Vastuta. In fact, janatam. For those who understand, atra. In this world, Krishnam, Lord Krishna, stashnu, stationary, charishnu, moving, cha, and Bhagavat Rupam. The manifest forms of the personality of Godhead. Akilam. Everything. Na. Nothing. Anyat. Else. Vastu. Substance. Iha. Here. Kinchana. At all. The translation. Those in this world who understand Lord Krishna as he is see all things, whether stationary or moving, as manifest forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such enlightened persons recognize no reality apart from the Supreme Lord Krishna. Please repeat. Those in this world who understand Lord Krishna as he is, see all things, whether stationary or moving, as manifest forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such enlightened persons recognize no reality apart from the Supreme Lord Krishna. Purport by the followers of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Everything exists within Lord Krishna, and Lord Krishna exists within everything. Still, the order of progression is always from the energetic to the expanded energy. Lord Krishna is the original identity from whom all other identities emanate. He is the supreme energetic from whom all categories and dimensions of energy become manifest. Thus, our personal bodies, self, family, friends, nation, planet, universe, and so on, are all manifestations of the Supreme Lord who expands himself through his personal potencies. Lord Krishna is certainly the supreme object of our love and attraction, and other objects such as body, family, and home should be secondary objects of our affection. Moreover, a close analytic study of the actual situation will reveal that even the secondary objects of love are also manifestations of Lord Krishna. The conclusion is that Lord Krishna is our only friend and object of love. In his Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which we call Krishna Book, Srila Prabhupada comments on this verse as follows. Without being an expansion of Krishna, nothing can be attractive. Whatever is attractive within this cosmic manifestation is due to Krishna. Krishna is therefore the reservoir of all pleasure. The active principle of everything is Krishna, and highly elevated transcendentalists see everything in connection with him. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that a Mahabhagavat, a highly advanced devotee, sees Krishna as the active principle in all movable and immovable living entities. Therefore, he sees everything within his cosmic manifestation in relation to Krishna. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasadam, Satya Parasko, Swami Nityananda, Satya Pibidam Vanidhi, Vinitam Sadhuvishnu, Makti Grantanai, Punam Makti Vadadash. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasadam, Gulayishnu, Kibakti Vedanta, Swami Nityananda. Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pachari, Nini Visesham, Nadapasatatadish. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Babuni Dhananda, Shri Aveda Gadadhar, Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Dama, Dama Dama, Hare Hare, Panchakalpa Purubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhyascha, Titanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So we're in this very famous chapter 14 of the 10th canto, which begins with Brahma offering all kinds of wonderful, enlightening prayers to Krishna after the Brahma Mohana Lila. And then after that, King Parikshit asked Sukadeva Goswami a question. O Brahmana, how could the cowherd women have developed for Krishna, someone else's son, such unprecedented pure love, love they never felt even for their own children? Please explain this. So we're in the middle of Shukadeva Goswami's explanation. which is the answer to this question. So the basic idea is that basically Krishna is everything. And more specifically, there's Krishna and Krishna's energies. And because Krishna's energies emanate from Krishna, they're considered non-different from Krishna. And therefore, basically, all there is Krishna. So this idea, it pops up actually in all the major books we study in different places. Like the idea that Krishna is everywhere. We encounter in one of the songs we sing every morning, actually. We say, Ito Nrisingha, Lord Nrisingadev is here. Parato Nrisingho, Lord Nrisingadev is there. Ito Yito Yami, wherever I go, Ito Nrisingho, there's Nrisingha. Bahir Nrisingho, Lord Nrisingha is outside. Ridaye Nrisingho, Lord Nrisingha is inside. Therefore, Lord, I offer my obeisances to Lord Nrisingha, who is the origin and the shelter of everything. So this, it's a common understanding that Krishna is everywhere. And it's there, Krishna mentions it in his own words in Bhagavad Gita. A couple of verses stuck in my mind in this connection in the 6th chapter, 29, Sarva Buddhistam Atmanam, Sarva Bhutani Chatmani, Ikshate Yoga Yuktatma, Sarvatra Samadarshana. A true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized person sees me, the same Supreme Lord, everywhere. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, one way that we can see Krishna everywhere. He says, while in the material energy, the living entity serves the material senses, and while in the spiritual energy, he serves the Supreme Lord directly. In either case, the living entity is the servant of God. This vision of equality is perfect in a person in Krishna consciousness. So we're always serving one of Krishna's energies. So we can see Krishna in that sense. We can see somebody in Maya, oh, they're serving Krishna's material energy, and someone engaged in devotional service, oh, they're serving Krishna's spiritual energy. But they're part and parcel of Krishna, and they're serving Krishna nonetheless. And then Krishna continues, Yomam pashati sarva cha, sarvam cha mai pashati, tasyam na pranashyami, satyame na pranashyati. The one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. And Prabhupada expands on this in this purport too. A person in Krishna consciousness certainly sees Lord Krishna everywhere, and he sees everything in Krishna. Such a person may appear to see all separate manifestations of the material nature, but in each and every instance he's conscious of Krishna, knowing that everything is a manifestation of Krishna's energy. Nothing can exist without Krishna, and Krishna is the Lord of everything. This is the basic principle of Krishna consciousness. Elsewhere, I think in a lecture or purport, Prabhupada would explain, when a devotee sees a tree, he just doesn't see a tree like anybody else. He sees that the body of the tree is made of Krishna's material energy, and that the soul of the tree is part and parcel of Krishna, the part of the marginal energy or the spiritual energy. So he sees the tree in relationship with Krishna. And he gave another analogy regarding a parent. If a parent sees his beloved child's shoes, he'll think, oh, those are my child's shoes, and think of feelings of affection for the child. So in the same way, the pure devotee, when he sees anything, actually, which is all the property of Krishna, it reminds him of his beloved Lord, who's actually the source and the proprietor of that. And further, Krishna mentions about in the 7th chapter about this person who sees him everywhere. Bhavanam janmanamante gyanavamam prapadite Vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sundurlabha. That Vasudeva sarvamiti literally means the Lord Vasudeva is everything. And the idea is after many births and death, he is actually in knowledge, surrenders under Krishna, knowing him to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. And Srila Prabhupada explains about that consciousness in the purport. When one is further advanced, he can see that there are activities in spiritual life, and these activities constitute devotional service. So first of all, he just understands that he is spirit, but then he understands that there's actually spiritual activities. Realizing this, he becomes attached to the personality of Godhead and surrenders to him. At that time, he can understand Lord Krishna's mercy is everything, that he is the cause of all causes, and that this material manifestation is not independent from him. He realizes the material world to be a perverted reflection of the spiritual variegatedness, and realizes that in everything there is a relationship with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Thus he thinks of everything in relation to Vasudeva, Sri Krishna. And then there's this very powerful statement at the end. Such a universal vision of Vasudeva precipitates one's full surrender to the Supreme Lord Krishna as the highest goal. So basically, everywhere he looks, he sees Vasudeva and concludes, yes, I should surrender to Vasudeva. This idea of Krishna's being everything and everywhere, it's there in the Chatur Shloki of the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's four verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam that are glorified as being sort of the essence for the whole thing, which he speaks to Lord Brahma after Brahma reveals everything to him as a result of his extended tapasya. Brahma was the original tapasvi who meditated on the word tapa for a very, very, very long time. And Krishna manifested himself and he spoke these four verses. And the first two really go into how Krishna is everything. The first one is, Brahma, it's I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before this creation, when there was nothing but myself, nor was the material nature the cause of this creation. That which you see now is also I, the personality of Godhead. And after annihilation, what remains will also be I, the personality of Godhead. And then he continues in the next verse, making a very powerful statement. O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. Know it as my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. So Krishna is so much everything that if somehow or other we calculate that something has no connection with Krishna, that also has connection with Krishna, and that's his illusory energy. So, and Isha Upanishad also has some verses along those lines. He who sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord, who sees all living beings as his parts and parcels, and who sees the Supreme Lord within everything, never hates anything or any being. And this verse gives some clue about the effect that vision has on one's behavior. If you actually see Krishna everywhere, you don't cause trouble to anyone because you think Krishna is residing here. Therefore, it's described that the pure devotees, they respect every living being because every body is a temple of God. Krishna is in the heart. Regarding seeing Krishna everywhere, there's a nice little pastime and discussion with between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy. After this very wonderful section where Lord Chaitanya basically asked Ramananda Roy all these progressively more advanced questions about devotional service and empowers Ramananda Roy to answer them, after that goes on for quite some time, Ramananda Roy comes to the conclusion that this person he's talking with actually is Krishna himself. And he asks about that. How is it that you appear to be Krishna? And because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a Chana avatar, he's a covered incarnation, he doesn't want anybody detecting that he's Krishna. So he doesn't want his cover to be blown, so to speak. So he gives some excuses why he's Ramananda Roy is seeing him as Krishna. It's not that he is Krishna, of course. No, because you're a pure devotee. It's the natural consciousness of the pure devotee is to see Krishna everywhere. And that's why you're seeing me to be Krishna. And he explains, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, a devotee advanced on the spiritual platform sees everything movable and inert as the Supreme Lord. Just like this verse, that Stanishu Charanishu, that's moving and non-moving as the Supreme Lord. For him, everything he sees here and there, just like Nrsimha, here and there, is but a manifestation of Lord Krishna. The Mahabhagavat, the advanced devotee, certainly sees everything movable and immovable, but he does not exactly see their forms. Rather, everywhere he immediately sees manifest the form of the Supreme Lord. So he's actually seeing Krishna's form everywhere, which is pretty amazing. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is not surprising because he very much likes Srimad Bhagavatam. It's said that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said if all the books in the world were gone except Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Charitamrita, everything would be all right. People would still attain perfection. And even if the Bhagavad Gita was missing and there was just the Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita, everything would be okay. And even if the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam were missing, if Chaitanya Charitamrita was there, then people would still attain perfection. Chaitanya Charitamrita is so wonderful that all the important verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita are included in it. So you get the whole teachings, plus you get the sweet pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's really the ultimate literature. And Prabhupada said it was Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's favorite literature. And some ISKCON devotees say it's their favorite, like Devamrita Swami and some others, including me. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes from the Bhagavatam, a person advanced in devotional service, this is from the 11th canto, 2:45, sees within everything the soul of souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Consequently, he always sees the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the cause of all causes and understands all things are situated in him. Then he quotes another verse, which is how the gopis saw Krishna everywhere. The plants, creepers, and trees were full of fruits and flowers due to ecstatic love for Krishna. Indeed, being so full, they were bowing down. They were inspired with such deep love for Krishna that they were constantly pouring showers of honey. In this way, the gopis saw all the forests of Vrindavan. That's 10:35:9. Prabhupada comments on that the Mahabhagavata sees, the advanced devotee sees everything as potentially serving the Lord. He does not see anything as unconnected with Krishna. Unlike the Mayavadi philosophers, the devotee does not see the material world as false because he knows everything in the material world is connected to Krishna. The devotee knows how to utilize everything in the service of the Lord, and that is the characteristic of the Mahabhagavata. The gopis saw the plants, creepers, trees, and forests loaded with fruits and flowers and ready to serve Krishna. In this way, they immediately remembered their worshipable Lord Sri Krishna. They did not simply see plants, creepers, and trees the way a mundaner sees them. So here Prabhupada makes a very important point that that a person who sees everything as Krishna and Krishna's utilizes everything in Krishna's service. And that's evidence that he's seeing that as Krishna's property, that he's making sure that Krishna's property is actually engaged according to Krishna's direction for Krishna's pleasure. And there Chaitanya Mahaprabhu concludes, my dear Roy, you are an advanced devotee and are always filled with ecstatic love for Radha and Krishna. Therefore, whatever you see, anywhere and everywhere, simply awakens your Krishna consciousness. So, one can intellectually see how Krishna philosophically is everywhere from these descriptions, how things are manifestations of his energy, and his energy is non-different from himself. But the advanced devotee sees, sort of like feels, actually, how everything's connected with Krishna because of their love for Krishna. There's one little section here. At this stage of Krishna consciousness, beyond self-realization, the devotee becomes one with Krishna in the sense that Krishna becomes everything for the devotee, and the devotee becomes full in loving Krishna. An intimate relationship between the Lord and the devotee then exists. At this stage, Lord Krishna never disappears from the sight of the devotee, nor does the devotee lose sight of the Lord. So, and Prabhupada quotes the beautiful verse from the Brahma Samhita, Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti Yang Shama Sundaram Achintya Gunasvarupam Govindamari Purusham Tambaham Bhajami. I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who's always seen by the devotee, whose eyes are anointed with pulp of love. He's seen in his eternal form of Shama Sundara, situated within the heart of the devotee. So the idea is that by practicing devotional service, we'll be able to perceive directly and feel ultimately how Krishna is everything. And let's describe our senses are imperfect. Tashri Krishna Namadi, Nabhavet and Grema Endriya, they can't grasp Krishna. Seva Nukhi Jivado Svaimeva Sparatida, but when we engage in devotional service beginning with the tongue, our senses become purified, and we can perceive this truth, how Krishna actually is everything. So those are a few related verses and thoughts about this. Does anybody have any realizations about how Krishna is everything everywhere they'd like to share, or commentaries or questions or anything? I had one additional thing I wanted to say, that also there's a group of people, the Mayavadis and the pantheists, who also say that God is everywhere. So somebody who could superficially look at this and say, we have the same philosophy. You say, we say everything is Krishna, and they say everything is Krishna. But it's different in their conception that Krishna, like in the pantheist conception, God loses his personality in spreading out throughout everything. Whereas in the Vaishnava conception, Krishna remains intact as the Supreme Person, and he's in a superior position. The Mayavadis take the idea that everything is God. I'm God, you're God. And therefore, the idea of service to God isn't a question. If everybody is God, if nobody is superior, and then there's no question of rendering service. So this is the ultimate defeat of the Mayavadis, because the only way one can attain the spiritual kingdom is by service to the Supreme Lord. So that Mayavadi philosophy actually destroys the opportunity for bhakti, and that's why all the Vaishnavas take great pleasure in trying to defeat the Mayavadi philosophy in many ways, so that people will render service to the Lord, who is in a superior position as the source of all emanations. Yes, Madan Mohan. I thought it would be irregular if you didn't have a point in the class. Glad to see that everything is normal in Alachua.
Thank you. I was thinking, when you said Krishna's, it depends if you put it as an the little mark between the S and the Krishna. One is Krishna's, belongs to Krishna. If you put the little, what's that thing called?
Apostrophe.
Apostrophe. Yeah. And if you leave it out, then it's saying that everything is an Krishna's, there's a lot of Krishna's, as opposed to it's all Krishna's property.
Mm.
So I think that you explain it. They don't recognize it to be used in his service. And then there was a word that I read in a Nectar Devotion called Udipan, and I think that was the idea that you were expressing, that with the Premanjana verse, that everything they see creates an impetus for more of their exchange. So they had that word ganaganatvam. That was the first one. The second verse, that he's in relishing pure devotional service in his mind. How do you say that again? Rasa.
Manaso rasena.
Manaso rasena. So is that where that Premanjana is manifesting? He's relishing that pure devotional service. So everything that he sees gives him impetus to continue that pure devotional service, which is what he's relishing. The spiritual master does that.
Yeah, that's how it's described. The advanced state, everything reminds something of the person of their relationship with Krishna, and inspires them to.
Is it also that the relationship is being manifest by the memory when they see something that reminds them? Because Krishna's absolute nature, then he's also in that relationship at that moment, isn't he?
Yeah, he's reminding them, because he's giving knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So. He sees the person. That's the thing about Krishna. He gives us selective memory according to what we desire. So if we desire to be connected to Krishna, then everything we see can remind us of Krishna. But if we desire to forget Krishna, then things can separate us from Krishna. By the association of the devotees, we develop the wisdom to desire to connect with Krishna, and therefore that the association of the devotees is the most important thing, because that reminds us of Krishna, our relationship with Krishna, and the process to attain it. I think so. Somebody else had something to say also.
Okay,
just one more thing.
Is that how karma changes into devotional service?
Karma changes into devotional service when one learns that the karma is the activities are meant for Krishna. There's a beautiful verse, Atmendriya Priti Vansha Tare Bali Kam Krishnendriya Priti Icha. Dari Premanam. It says that when we desire things for our own sense gratification, that's called kama or lust. But when we desire things for Krishna's sense gratification, it's called prema. And it's based on the understanding our self as part and parcel of Krishna, and Krishna's servant. And so then we desire everything for Krishna's pleasure because we have a different understanding of ourself. The materialist understanding of himself is, I am this body and I attain pleasure by satisfying the senses of the body. And the spiritualist understanding is, I'm part and parcel of Krishna and I attain happiness by serving Krishna. So I think, Keisha, you had something, Keisha? Wanted to tell me.
I thought it was interesting. Oh. You started out by saying that everyone is a servant of Krishna. If they are not worshipping the spiritual energy, they are worshipping the material energy. And it reminds me of Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentioning that everyone is a devotee. Some are coming towards Krishna, and others are going away from Krishna.
Yeah, really.
So somebody who is worshipping the material energy may think, well, I'm worshipping Krishna too. Why you guys are, you know, getting on my case? Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. So the devotees are getting on their case because they're representing Krishna who's getting on their case. And because Krishna is compassionate and knows, remembers that they have an eternal, he has an eternal relationship with them in one of five rasas, and that when they're situated in that relationship with him, they are a lot happier than they are when they're transmigrating from one body to another, suffering and enjoying in different contact with different sense objects, pleasurable and painful. So basically that's because of Krishna's compassion and the devotee's compassion, they may think that they're very happy in material life, but no matter how happy they are in material life, the devotees in Krishna know they would be happier in spiritual life, and that their happiness in material life is temporary, that it's going to end sooner or later. They're going to get a new body, which may not be as nice as the present body. And at least being in the womb for 9 months won't be particularly nice. And coming out, I remember when Swami said in class, no one comes out of the womb smiling. It's true. So, I don't have any experience myself. Yeah. So one of the Matajis in the back had a question. Did you have a question or a comment?
I just want to say something real quick about Srila Prabhupada.
Oh, yeah.
Concerning the vision of the pure devotee not making differences. The perfect example is when Srila Prabhupada gave initiation to one of the nice Matajis here in Alachua, Mahamaya. Mm. And he said that name, Mahamaya, and everybody, all the devotees were like, ooh, yeah. And Srila Prabhupada explained how is the illusory energy and is part of Krishna. This, you know, so that's for me, gives me the understanding.
That's true. Yeah. And there goes
Prabhupada there. Was not, you know, you're the servant of Maya now.
Mm.
It was not the point. The point is Krishna himself too.
And we learn how and that Maya begs the holy name from Haridas Thakur because she wants to experience the ecstatic love for Krishna. So she's actually a disciple of Haridas Thakur. Very elevated personality. Yes, Yamash.
When you were speaking about the person that wanting to come out of the womb, I remember my mother told me when I was born, I did not want to come out.
Really? Wow.
And she said I gave her so much pain, I just did not want to come
out. Wow. Well, Shukadeva Goswami didn't want to come out either. So it's not necessarily bad. It's described that the soul sometimes, because of his repentance, repentant attitude at being in such a suffering condition, gets touch with the Supreme Lord and offers prayers to him in devotional service. So sometimes the entity in the womb is in an elevated state of consciousness. So anything else? I guess we shall end here. Thank you for your kind attention. It's Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Ki.